You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 52. This minute opens with a lab computer confirming that there is a match between human and engineer DNA, and ends with David saying, "Big things have small beginnings." DNA match, what does that mean exactly? This line never sat right with me, and now I'm inspecting it closely, I realize why. A match means identical, which can't be the case, as even identical twins are not genetically identical. All life on Earth shares some common DNA, because we evolved from a common ancestor, so what the computer is really saying is that the engineer has a lot in common with human beings. What it should have said was 98% match, or something like that. Such a minor change could have made all the difference. That said, if we want scientific realism, that is still a dubious statement. I will link to a video in the footnotes that explains this in more depth, but we have all heard that humans and chimpanzees share 98% of our DNA, right? Well, it's more technical than that. In order to make that calculation, researchers had to ignore the fact that chimps have 24 chromosomes while humans have 23. And then they had to come up with a system which would best allow for comparisons between genetic sequences. It's not as exact as you might assume. The same goes for most systems of measurement or categorization in our world. There's always an element of subjectivity, because categories are a human invention. As far as I can tell from the display, the human and engineer DNA sequences are completely identical. While it is possible for two beings to look very different but have a lot in common genetically, just look at dogs, there is still some variation. It's impossible for an engineer to not have its size or skin color or eye color written into its DNA and therefore setting us apart. So yes, they would have been better off just saying that there was a high percentage of genetic commonalities. Even if it was a 50% match, that's still tremendous considering this being came from another planet. There shouldn't be any similarities at all. Side note, I wonder who they sampled for the human DNA. I suppose it's possible they are just working from a default record, but if it's one of the crew, I'd say it's Shaw. That ties her into the story a bit more. But if it's just something they already had on record, I'm going to assume it's Wayland's because, you know, he thinks he's genetically perfect, I'm going to assume. In this minute, we are still cutting between Shaw and David, both on their separate yet similar quests of discovery. The Prometheus theme is utilized in this scene to great effect. It's played quietly, but it speaks volumes for the significance of this moment. For both of them, this reflects their awe and excitement, though for Elizabeth's sentiment is more wholesome. Even in this minute, we can assume David is up to no good. And yet this track implies that he doesn't see it that way. There's certainly sadism in his curiosity, which magnifies as he progresses through these films. And yet, it's a cruelty stemming largely from indifference. He just wants to satisfy his curiosity. Should people be harmed in the process, so be it. We have an extreme close-up on David's finger as he observes a single drop of mutagen atop it. We see that he has a Wayland logo incorporated into his fingerprint. I'm not a fan of tattoos, but I would get one like that if it were possible. Sadly, you can't really tattoo the palms of your hands and white ink fades fast. I wonder if David has a logo hidden elsewhere in his body. I suppose identification isn't as much of an issue, when apparently all synthetics at this point look like Michael Fassbender. Whereas in the game Detroit Become Human, while androids aren't unique individuals, they have a wide variety of appearances, so they are required to have LEDs in their heads and a uniform to distinguish them from humans. I have a feeling in real life we'll never cross that uncanny valley, at least not to the point that human and android are physically indistinguishable from one another. That said, we live in a world where bleach bottles have labels saying not to drink them, so anything's possible. At the end of this minute, David delivers one of his more memorable lines, "Big things have small beginnings." Interesting to note, the line was not spoken by Lawrence himself, but another character in the film. I'll link to the scene in the footnotes. Somewhat related, in the PlayStation game Uncharted, the main character Nathan Drake claims to be a descendant of Sir Francis Drake. He wears a ring that supposedly belonged to his ancestor, and inscribed on it is Sic Parvus Magna, or roughly translated, greatness from small beginnings. In the fiction of the story, this is Francis Drake's motto, though no such connection can be made in reality. As far as I can tell, the quote began with Lawrence of Arabia, and yet I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that this quote feels much more ancient. It seems like an obvious truth, like, with great power comes great responsibility. You would think it was the wisdom of the ancients, and perhaps variants on these proverbs date back further, but as they are both products of the 20th century. Around 2012, T.E. Lawrence seemed to be in the zeitgeist. Uncharted 3, which is one of my favourite games ever, came out in late 2011. The plot tangentially concerns Lawrence and the Aram of the Pillars, a legendary city known as the Atlantis of the Sands, hidden somewhere in the Rubalkali Desert. Lawrence planned to search for it himself, but never did. I find this resurgence in his popularity interesting, especially because Prometheus and Uncharted mean so much to me. I'm fascinated by the ways complete strangers, even those long since dead, can have an influence on your life. Also, I realize I mentioned two PlayStation exclusive games. I am not sponsored by PlayStation, although I would like that. I won't say no. How I interpret David's intention in this quote is that he feels he is justified in his actions. He's sacrificing Holloway is for the greater good. The ends justify the means. It almost seems like he views his actions as heroic, being that he's drawing connection to his hero, Lawrence, who again is a morally dubious man. I love the design of the glass containers within the ampules. They are so biological. They're covered in a viscous fluid and held together both with a kind of membrane and bones. The glass bottles are covered in an organic scale texture too. Everything about them has the appearance of life, more so than anything else the engineers have made. It's as if their appearance speaks to their purpose. All right, that about covers it. This is Colson signing off. You can find me on traviandesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.